Welcome to Dog Talk and Kitties Too. I'm Tracy Hotchner. I wrote the Dog Bible, Everything Your Dog Wants You to Know, as well as the Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. This episode features one of three guests who were part of my weekly hour-long NPR show broadcast over the air every Sunday on WLIW-FM 88.3, the only NPR station on Long Island where it has broadcast continuously for over 15 years. This show is about dogs, cats, and other creatures who share the planet with us. Please check out my other Pet Talk podcasts at TracyHotchnerPets.com. This show would not be possible without the longtime support of Woruva, the pet food company founded and privately run by David Foreman, who named it after his rescued kitties, Webster, Rudy, and Vanessa. Woruva is a quirky name for a company with whimsical names for the dozens of different cans and pouches of cat food they make. But what sets them apart is how serious David is about high-quality nutrition. They were the first pet food company to use human edible ingredients and process them in the same facilities that make human food, remaining privately owned and run, accountable only to their own high standards. This show is also made possible with the generous support of Dr. Elsie's, the privately owned litter and cat food company founded by Dr. Bruce Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian. He personally created many styles of litter to make sure that even the fussiest cats would not have out-of-litter box problems, the number one reason people abandon their kitties. Dr. Elsie also created his own brand of cat food called Clean Protein, the first dry cat food I can recommend because it's based on the protein found in a cat's natural prey. Dr. Elsie's is also the founding and continuing sponsor of my New York Cat Film Festival, of which I am the founder and director, along with the annual New York Dog Film Festival, which premiere in New York City every October and then travel the USA and Canada supporting local animal welfare groups. Go to dogfilmfestival.com and catfilmfestival.com to find out when we'll be where. I have the great good fortune of having the extraordinary dog trainer Annie Phoenix basically on speed dial. Those of you that remember the days when there were things like, you know, phones where you had speed dial. She wrote a book called Positive Training for Aggressive and Reactive Dogs, Proven Techniques to Help Your Dog Overcome Fear and Anxiety. We've had lots of good conversations on this show, and specifically about the Bidens' two dogs, who it was believed had bitten Secret Service people more than once. And now the news recently, someone did a WikiLeaks type thing and found out that just to the Secret Service alone, not other staff members, not other people on the White House grounds or offices, that there have been 24 remarkable bites by the second of the German Shepherds. And while Annie and I are both really frustrated that this dog was kept in such an inappropriate environment for himself, not to mention the hideous situation for all the people who were bitten, many of whom needed stitches, is what can we learn from that? And what can all of us be aware of with dogs who might have the inclination, tendency, desire, or need to bite a human? Annie, when you wrote the book, Positive Training for Aggressive and Reactive Dogs, was it because as a dog trainer, a number of people had come to you after their dogs had bitten someone? Is that what they waited until it was almost, if you will, the horse was out of the barn?
Yes, very much so. And also because I wanted to counter the horrible, unproven belief that many trainers, unfortunately, and owners subscribe to, which is this idiotic idea that dogs are trying to quote unquote dominate us.
Yes.
It's called dominance theory. It's been so disproven, and it's junk science. It's just not true, but they still like to say and believe and train a dog believing that the dog, a lovely, beautiful soul is trying to dominate us. And the bigger the dog, the firmer the hand. And none of that is true. And science supports this. It's not just my opinion, one trainer's opinion, one author's opinion. Science over and over and over again says dogs that are trained with positive reinforcement, praise, toys, food, you're a guide to the dog versus a dictator to the dog.
Right.
And you're not, and we're not using harmful collars. We're not yelling at the dog. We're not hitting the dog. We're not spraying the dog with water. We're not, if people throw chains at, I mean, it's just insane what dogs go through because frankly, they don't have lawyers and lobbyists to defend them.
That's defend our job.
Writing books.
We're here lobbying for the dogs.
Yeah. Books and journalists. Those dogs that are trained with positive reinforcement scientifically are calmer. They're less, they don't have as much stress. A study, the newest one is 2020, that looked at cortisol levels in two groups, one trained with aversive, harsh training, and one trained with positive reinforcement. The aversive group, high cholesterol level, that's stress.
You said cholesterol, but you meant cortisol.
I'm sorry, cortisol.
That's all right.
I don't have coffee today. Yeah, good call. Cortisol, not cholesterol. That's a stress hormone. And cortisol. And they panted, they had anxiety months to years after that training. The positive reinforcement trained dogs did not have that. They didn't have anxiety, and it's more effective. So it's just, we have to take a step back. When we hear a dog has bitten 24 times,
that we know of. Just hang on one sec. 24 okay. times that have been documented, not the times that the dog tried to bite and wasn't successful, and not the bites which must have happened to housekeepers, cleaners, yard people, guards, whomever else was there. Yeah. It's sort of like, in a sense, Annie, it's like DUI. When somebody gets stopped for DUI, you can be absolutely 110% sure that is not the first time they drove drunk. And when a dog is documented as having bitten to the point of stitches were required, and it goes into somebody's log, whether it's the police or the White House, you know, or the Secret Service calendar, if you will, that dog has bitten other people before. And nobody has helped the dog who is in fear and anxiety and biting from fear and anxiety. Nobody has helped the dog to not be forced to that limit, which in a sense right. is what really good dog trainers believe, that only right. a dog pushed by his own or her own emotional stress is, or, you know, leaving aside dogs who were trained to attack. That's a separate mm-hmm. issue. And not all dogs can be trained to attack. I mean, there's some who are more open to that ideology, if you will, as an individual or as a breed. But it's the understanding that when you have that much documentation, you have a very big, serious problem that has been ignored and ignored and ignored and pushed under the carpet. Or in the case of Mrs. Biden, the first lady, you could send flowers to the person who's been bitten. Not all the Secret Service people receive flowers from her. Can I just say, this is lunacy. You have a dangerous dog who's in a situation that's making him utterly miserable, or he wouldn't be resorting to his teeth. So what do we all have to learn from this? I mean, it's good to know that the science shows that aversive, negative, harsh, I'm the alpha, I'll alpha roll you. That guy that used to be on TV teaching people, I'm going to be the guy who's the dominator of my dog. Mm-hmm. This is ignorance. This is comes from an ignorant person, ignorant and also stupid. At that point, if you're that much of a well-known, you know, nationally known figure as a so-called dog trainer with no actual training, just you've been hanging out with packs of dogs for a long time, whether in Mexico or the U.S., that ideology is ignorant, meaning you don't mm-hmm. know better, or stupid, you know better, but you don't care, you're still going to do it. So the dogs that were trained, so-called trained, you could even call it abuse if you want to, like, you know, lowercase mm-hmm. a abuse. The dogs that the Bidens had were trained by high drive trainers, very macho. We've seen their pictures on their websites. They present as, I'm a canine trainer. I was in the military. I was a canine policeman. And I know how to tell a dog what to do. And then they often make disparaging comments about positive reinforcement mm-hmm. training, like, yeah, cookies. They always refer to trainers, the good ones, the good trainers, as, yeah, you're just going to use cookies to bribe them, which this is the whole point. So, Annie, let's say I have a dog. I've raised that dog from X age. All seemed well. I did all the good raising and training. And yet this dog is showing fear around people, anxiety, growling at them, perhaps barking at them, snarling at them. Or I've adopted a dog, rehomed another person's dog, adopted a dog from the shelter. And invariably they say, oh, he's only lunging at the guy in the backyard with the hose because he was probably sprayed with water hoses before, or beaten with them, or has a terrible history with men. Maybe not. Maybe the dog just, you know, stranger anxiety. What should we do in the moment that we become aware, the very first moment that we see our dog acting, call it aggressively? You also use the word reactive, which is the more politically correct word in a sense. What is the thing we should do? That's what I want to come out of this, not just, you know, White House bashing or feeling incredible empathy and frustration on behalf of the Secret Service and other people trying to serve the country, the nation, the president, and coming under attack from a dog. What can we learn, we who have pet dogs? There's a lot of pet dogs who are on the verge of biting, or they might have bitten. And instead of people understanding what that means and how to dial it back, they just think, well, that was just because it was the mailman and he's scared of the mailbag. So what are some of the kind of the 101s about a dog like this?
Yeah. Well, you don't do what the Bidens did. And I do feel sorry or bad for them, because I think they didn't want to give up the second dog. And who does? None of us who love dogs get the dog to give it up. But 24 bites, 10 needed medical help, stitches, and one in the hospital. That is a serious level of concern. So you don't wait for 24 bites. They're just lucky that this is the president and the Secret Service. And that could have been 24 lawsuits.
Yeah.
For an average person. And that is there is a very serious liability. And dog bites are through the roof. They are just keep going up and up and up. And even dog maulings. That used to be so rare. Or a person mauled to death by a dog. And that's why sometimes I say the canine species is broken and we broke it.
Right.
But number one, if your dog is growling, we say don't punish the growl as trainers. We
that's
say,
right.
Thank you. That is valuable information.
Yes.
Whatever I just did is upsetting the dog or in the dog's environment enough that the dog had to go to a growl. I mean, that's like us raising our voice and saying very bad F-bombs or cussing, or we're about to do something physical and we use our voice first if we have that much control. And we can lose it. We can lose our you know what, as well, just like a dog can. But a growl is serious. And even little dogs, I hate seeing it on TikTok and Facebook, little chihuahuas growling when people are doing things that a dog doesn't want done to them. So I believe, and good trainers believe, a dog has a right to say no. No, you can't hurt me on my neck with that collar. No, you can't spray water in my face. I will respond. And it's the bigger dogs, like the German Shepherds, that are also treated so harshly, and they don't need to be. When they respond, it's scary. When a chihuahua responds, people think it's funny. It's not funny for either of them. These are dogs having a hard time communicating in their own way to say, stop this. I am very uncomfortable. I will bite next. If my growl is ignored, if all the subtle signs like lifting a paw, licking their nose, licking, yawning, scratching, trying to avoid and escape a situation, if we ignore what a trainer friend has called whisperings from a dog in canine language,
whisperings, I like that.
Yes, then they scream, and we do the same thing. You know, we say we're uncomfortable. We might move away from somebody. We might try to run away. But if we can, you know, trigger stacking happens to us too. And then suddenly you're having road rage in your own car and you're not that kind of person.
That's interesting. So say the word again about stacking. It's important for people to understand that it can be a cumulative experience for the dog, whether in one event where somebody has brought this is just a scenario, of course, they brought a child into the house. The dog has never seen children or had a bad experience where a child, I don't know, flung himself at the dog and scared the life out of the dog. If a person brings a dog into your house and your dog's hair goes up, or he or she growls, or even barks at all at the kid, or whatever this event is, this change in the environment, is that a whispering? Even the barking is a whispering, right?
Yeah, it sure can be. I mean, they are communicating to the very best of their ability, and they ramp it up. We call it the ladder of aggression, which I would call it the ladder of responding to bad things in my environment is what it should be called.
And but the stacking is, explain the stacking.
Yeah, it can happen to us. It's like how we do get to road rage. You know, you have a fight with your husband or spouse on Sunday night. Your kid doesn't sleep. Your baby doesn't sleep through the night. You get to work. Your boss gives you a bad review. Your lunch is burned, and it just goes, and it may go on for weeks and months and years before you finally explode. But eventually we have enough and we blow up. We can certainly do that. You can do, humans can also harm themselves. Of course, dogs don't tend to, well, they can self-harm, like they can gnaw at their feet and stuff and do, you know, stuff like that. But a dog that goes to growling and barking and biting and hair up, And even the more subtle signs, so like licking their nose, licking their lips, yawning could be a shake off where they shake like their coat is wet, but it's not wet. These are all signs that a good owner says, I need to stop what I'm doing, stop the environment, and ask why. We don't ask why. Why did the dog do that? Why did the dog growl? What can I do so the dog does not feel the need to growl? And if you get a bite, that is serious. I don't care if it's a big dog or a little dog. That dog is pretty stressed, very stressed. And that's when you call a certified behaviorist who will not dominate and punish your dog. That is the exact wrong thing to do. That's what happened to Biden's dog. You can see the collars on in photos. And I've seen photos of that dog, by the way, the German Shepherd Commander, with the Biden family looking relaxed. It's the Secret Service people that are, if you think about it from a dog's perspective, are very stiff. You know, they
interesting.
Move. They're very stiff looking. And stiffness is a warning that dogs can get stiff right before they bite, too. You don't want to be around a stiff dog. You want a loose body. So people have to act a lot faster. If there's growling, call in a certified professional. Make sure they're not going to make the situation much worse by harming the dog. We have to make the dog feel safe. And that commander did not feel safe in that environment. That's a harsh environment for humans. And if you look at the bite list, he's at that house in Delaware. He's at the White House. He's at Camp David.
That's right.
So they're moving this dog all around, completely new environments, and a German Shepherd. The breed, AKC breed standard includes the line, be wary of strangers.
Interesting.
Because it's a guardian.
That's right.
You know, get a golden retriever, although we can see it in goldens now. We can see it in every breed. But at least a golden retriever has been bred as first a sport dog, but now a family dog. A Labrador is a family dog. You can still have these problems. Believe me, I have every kind of breed and every mixed breed that I've worked with. But a dog built to guard its territory and is naturally saying friend or foe, probably you're a foe. You need to prove to me that you're my friend. And the Biden family did that for him. But Secret Service looked stiff and strange, much like his trainer, who was also police-based.
But, you know, you also said something else that's interesting. If a dog feels uncomfortable, / fearful, / anxious in a situation, whether it's a physical situation or a situation with people or even one or two people that for some reason make that dog uncomfortable, the dog's inability to remove himself from the situation escalates the fear and anxiety. So if your dog's feeling that, it's like any of us who have reactive dogs that are reactive about other dogs. You don't keep going forward when your dog is stiffening hackles and growling and showing teeth and wanting to drive away the other dog that is scaring them. You simply turn and go in another direction, and your dog immediately relaxes. So the same thing, if you have a dog who shows any of these responses, which are early signs that I could be pushed to bite if you keep putting me in this situation, remove them from the situation. Now, if it's because workmen come in your house, we've had a bunch of workmen recently. My dogs just really love to rush out the dog door and bark at anyone who arrives. It's just part of what makes them feel like they've got a job and they enjoy doing it, and there's no menace behind it. And you call them in, they come right in, they get a cookie for coming in and stopping doing the thing they were doing, which was pretty pleasurable for them. And then the person or people come in the house. If the person, in the case of my dog, smells a lot of their own dogs or other dogs where they've been, and one of my dogs doesn't like other dogs, Wanda, I've seen her hair go up a little when smelling this human's pants. I simply take Wanda away from that person and put her in my office. She doesn't need to smell other dogs and wonder, well, where's the dog? I smell a lot of dog on this person. Where is he hiding it? Because I don't think I'm going to like that dog. You just remove her. I mean, is there any harm in your view as a trainer if you have a dog's lifestyle that can avoid being in situations that cause this reaction in the dog?
That's creating what my friend of mine, Dr. Laura Donaldson, who's an exquisite New York trainer, calls creating a sense of deep safety. And we owe dogs that because they are captive animals.
Yes.
And the leash constrains their movement and inability to escape. Movement is freedom for a dog. And we have to have leashes, obviously. But dogs are more leashed than they've ever been in their lives. Like, I grew up in the 70s. My dog jumped our six-foot fence and walked around the neighborhood and had God knows how many puppies because they weren't neutered either back then.
That's right.
But he had freedom, mm-hmm. and he didn't get hit by a car. We were lucky by that. We did have another dog that did get hit by a
Ditto,
car and died,
me too.
And that was traumatic.
Yep.
Yeah, very traumatic. So we have to have leashes. But imagine, you're afraid of another dog coming at you. You're trapped on a leash. You start putting your hair up. You might raise your lips, show your teeth. You might try to leave. And then if an owner smacks you or jerks on your collar, or worse, sit, stay. You're completely frozen, and that may look like an obedient dog. And so that dog's fear is never responded to, and he's never given relief.
Right.
And so it builds and it builds, and take that dog off leash, and it might then go for the jugular of the dog, that the first dog it can get to, because it's like, I have been terrified and you have been staring at me on my walks for 10 years.
Yes.
Or it might just run. Just completely run in a panic, and then horrible things could happen, like
Correct.
Being hit by a car.
Well said. So, and yeah, that's a really good point. When you said, what could be worse than being told to the dog, sit and stay? So you've learned enough obedience that you will sit on command, even when you're really scared. Now you're like, oh my God, she's making me sit and face my worst fear. This is not what mm-hmm. we do. We would hope you wouldn't do it to a human, whether adult or child. They said, you know, I'm really not comfortable going in that movie theater. Whatever. I'm paranoid since COVID. I don't want to go in the movie theater. Ah, come on, just come on. And you drag the person into the movie theater. Probably not great. The person will sit through the world's most delightful movie in fear the whole time because they carry this fear with them. And there are dogs who have that feeling about whether certain people of a certain size and shape, they're wearing a hoodie, they're wearing a baseball cap. There's something about them that looks different. You mentioned what the Secret Service looks like, and they're also in those all matching uniforms. Well, dark anyway, mm-hmm. pants and jackets.
And sunglasses.
Yeah, it's a uniform. And to a dog, that can look austere. And dogs, all dogs are smart. Just some of them, we don't pay as much attention to their intelligence. They can tell from how you're dressed, maybe who you are. Maybe they recognize you from the way you dress. With me, they totally know if I'm going to pickleball, if we're going on a walk, if I'm going out without them and I put on different shoes and pants. They sniff and they look and they're like, oh, phooey. Looks like we're not going this time because I've got on the not dog clothes, you know?
Yep.
And the same thing can happen with our pet dogs. I mean, the mailman or mailwoman, they wear an outfit, a costume, uniform. The dog sees it, and that's the trigger of this person comes to the door. And it's really great if I bark and leap at the window and the door hard enough, they go away. Whew, that worked.
Exactly right.
That worked.
And they're exquisite observers of us. And so if you think of a human being mad, and particularly a male human, and this was a male trainer going back to commander, and a lot of male Secret Service, there's female too.
Yes.
But they all have that serious stance.
Yes, they do.
And that can look like I am angry from a dog's perspective.
Correct.
You know, you clench your fist when you're mad. Your face squishes up. Your body becomes rigid. And the dogs do the same thing. They can become very stiff when they're about to bite. A stiff dog is not a happy dog and could be quite dangerous very soon. It's a warning that we do not see because you almost need to film it because it can happen so quickly before a bite. So it's like, if you look at the list, they're almost all Secret Service people. He did bite other people, but Mrs. Biden was walking him on leash somewhere in the White House and outside out in the lawn. He got away from her and ran across the yard and bit the guy by the arm and pulled him down. And it was a Secret Service. And that's how they train attack dogs.
That's
to bite.
Right.
You've probably seen them wearing a bite sleeve.
Yes.
So was the dog trained, you know, and you don't need a guard dog around the president. You need a family pet. He's
and that would
well
be,
protected.
That would be true in your house too. I mean, the same
exactly.
thing. If you have a dog, whether it's a Chihuahua, who are known for being snappy and bitey, especially when being held in the arms of their owner, talk about trapped, and then being forced to be near the faces of all kinds of random humans, and that dog snaps, how big of a warning do you need?
Yeah.
The next time that dog is going to connect with flesh, it might be somebody's face, it might be somebody's child's throat or arm. If your dog snaps, what is the kind of the capsule advice you would give Annie Phoenix. You have a yes. dog who has snapped at a human. To me, that is the biggest red flag in the world. You don't yes. just say, oh, he doesn't like that person, or he had a bad night's sleep. Right. You have a dog ready and willing to bite.
Mm-hmm. One, consider the liability, the
yes.
financial liability. You could be sued. Two, how terrible you will feel if that dog bites a kid in the face, and that's where they get bitten, because they're lower to the
that's
ground
right.
and they get down on the ground, and kids are the most bitten. 9-year-old boys are very high on the bite list.
Yep.
And you would, if you're a decent human being, you're going to feel terrible. And if your dog bites, he's probably going to be put down if he bites through the skin.
That's
so
right.
So you can save your dog's life.
It could be yes. a death sentence. I mean, that's what
yes.
could happen, whether it's a lawsuit, which is hugely a big problem. If you don't have liability insurance that covers the dog, and there's certain breeds of dogs you can own where they won't sell you, even mm-hmm. house insurance, Rottweilers, Dobies,
right.
lots of dogs, not just German Shepherds, not just, Malinois, they won't even sell you house insurance if you own one. So these are things that you really have to consider. If your dog shows, you don't have to wait for the dog to show you that it has the desire or need to bite. You just have to start to read
exactly.
it really early in your relationship with that dog and change their experience of the place, person, or thing with positive reinforcement training and lots of desensitization and lots of positive reinforcement, all of which you'll find in Annie's book, Positive Training for Aggressive and Reactive Dogs. Or you may have to muzzle them in public. I mean, that's another,
yes.
but then again, it's got to be a basket muzzle, which is very humane, lets them breathe and pant and even drink water and even have a treat through it. But basket muzzles for small dogs or brachycephalic dogs are really hard to fit. And you have to be vigilant.
Yes.
You can never let the dog around anybody without the muzzle if you feel your dog is that close to connecting with flesh.
Right.
So, Annie, we've run out of time. I just hope that people can understand that this wasn't just one dog in one situation. Happens to have been two dogs in multiple similar situations owned by the same people and in the same location. It can happen to anybody. And the problem was that when either of those dogs first bit someone, the dogs needed to be removed from the environment. In that case, you couldn't change the
yes.
environment. Too much going
right.
on.
And communication needs to be honored. You
Thank
know, the
you.
First time, the
perfect.
The growl. The first,
That's the perfect
yeah.
last
Honor
thing
your,
to say. The dog's communication yeah. needs to be honored. Honored your dog. Pay attention. Don't turn your back on it. Or don't turn your back on your dog, because bad things can happen if you don't pay attention. Thanks for being here, Annie, and for writing your wonderful book.
Always a privilege.
I hope you enjoyed the show. There are a few more special companies that make this show possible, and I hope you'll try their products because they support my mission to entertain you with valuable information and advice. This show is supported by Earth Animal, which is privately owned by Dr. Bob and Susan Goldstein, where they create holistic pet wellness products with an emphasis on their stewardship of the Pet Sustainability Coalition. Earth Animal makes a dazzling array of healing products for dogs and cats, as well as the innovative dog chew, No Hide, and the hybrid dry food, Wisdom, which is sometimes all that my picky Weimaraner Maisie will eat. The show is also brought to you in part by Evermore Pet Food, privately owned by two dedicated women who take human edible, ethically sourced ingredients to gently cook dog food that is then frozen in pouches and shipped right to your door. They founded and run their own company and answer to their own high standards without interference from venture capital investors. My dogs love it every single day.